Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Heart to Health Talk. I am Zixin.
And I'm Sheng Hao. So our fourth series, we'll finally be talking about an issue that's long overdue, and that's the COVID-19 pandemic and its effects on all of us.
Today, we have with us Phoebe, a friend of mine. How about you introduce yourself, Phoebe?
Hi everyone, my name's Phoebe. I'm a year 4 student from NUS Nursing.
Nice to meet you, Phoebe. Let's just begin by looking at what's happening today. For our listeners, today is the 21st of June, and I think all of us are very familiar that today is Phase 3 heightened alert, and the first day that restaurants are finally open for dining, although it's just for two. So I just want to ask both of you as well, have you had the chance to eat out yet?
No, but I'm going out to eat tomorrow.
Firstly, for me, I haven't, because I think I haven't been out of the house for the past month, except to get groceries. Yes, I'm a certified homebody.
For me, I'm just very excited that gyms are finally open. Today was the first day that I got to go in over a month. But I think the first thing that everybody was asking for was, are the gym membership fees prorated? How are they going to be adjusted? Those were the first things that people were asking all about. It really goes to show the mindsets of Singaporeans.
And also I read in the news that there's actually a lot of people that showed up at the gym. And it was very difficult to get booking slots available. I feel like it's quite amazing because normally people get really lazy and they don't want to go to the gym. So for people to come to this step to be like, oh man, I have been stuck at home for the whole month and I really need to exercise. I think it really shows how as a society, we are really experiencing pandemic fatigue.
That's an interesting point. I thought the moment gyms would open or ever since we were on Phase 3 and suddenly on to heightened alert, people would be super excited to just can go out and eat now and to suddenly think that, there's this sudden inertia to go out and do the things that you used to do in the past. Well, that's a pretty interesting thought.
Speaking of pandemic fatigue, we have this definition here that's talking about a feeling of exhaustion. It's been over a year now since Circuit Breaker. I think we've all more or less adjusted to this and the fact that the virus might be endemic and this might be the new normal that we are living in. But at the same time, we can't really shake off this feeling of a pandemic fatigue, sort of like we have to comply with all these different regulations like safe distancing, trace together, temperature taking, wearing masks. So I want to ask Phoebe, do you find yourself struggling to keep up with some of these practices?
Personally, for me, coming from someone who just ended my 3 months of year 3 final year attachment from the hospital, I would say that it's really not easy just seeing family members struggling because now due to COVID restrictions from the heightened alert, they limit the number of people who can visit the patients in the hospital. And with that, we can only have 2 visitors per patient. And it can get really heartbreaking sometimes when we see that family members who really want to visit their loved ones in the hospital and it's hard. And then at the same time, they can't eat with their family members. And in the past, you see them like, hey, I made this food for you. Let's eat it together. We can't see that happen anymore. And so it can be quite tough. Even my own family where, because personally, my grandma has dementia during the circuit breaker time. In fact, this is even before this current heightened alert. She couldn't go to the daycare and all of us were working from home. It was quite chaotic. Things were really not easy. And this pandemic fatigue is actually very real. No one has it easy.
Do you feel like given your experience of working in the hospital during this period, and then when you go out into society and realize that there are people who are getting tired of mask wearing or safe distancing or basically just trying to keep others safe, do you feel that their actions make things seem very trivial as compared to what you have experienced in the hospital?
I think wearing masks now is definitely not easy because it's not a normal thing that someone would do. Someone would only wear a mask out if you are coughing and you don't want to spread the germs to other people. However, when I go onto social media and I see people, maybe not even Singaporeans, complaining that they get very tired, they get very drowsy, very hard to breathe with the surgical mask on, I totally understand. And I totally feel you because in the past 3 months in the hospital, for our whole 8-hour shifts, except when we drink water or when we eat, we have to wear an N95 mask throughout 8 hours of shift. And this is just me in a general ward. If you are in those COVID wards, you would not just be wearing an N95 throughout your entire shift. You'd be gowned up with a face shield. You have to wear your full protection gear and your gloves as well. And they literally have to walk in this for the whole 8 hours. So if you're not a healthcare professional, the hardest it is really to be wearing your mask the entire time you are out of your house. But at the same time, even if it's hard, also know that others are struggling as well. Healthcare professionals have to wear N95 masks throughout. So I don't mean to say if the healthcare professionals can do it, you guys can do it too, because they have it harder. But it's because I would say that everybody has their own degree of difficulty that they are able to withstand. I believe that we should all just try and do our best, because it's really not easy and everyone is struggling in their own ways and they are facing and fighting their own battles. So the best thing that can be done now really is to be encouraging to one another, to really be embracing and to have empathy, because what might be hard for me, let's say wearing a surgical mask a whole day versus wearing an N95 for 8 hours, it's really non-comparable person to person because everyone has their own life experiences. So I think one thing that you can take away from all that has happened is to really just show extra empathy to the people around you, because this is currently what we really need when everyone is just very scared and there's a tendency to be on edge due to what's happening around.
That's a very empathetic thing.
Thank you for sharing about your experience as a frontline worker. For the general public or most of us, even though we see the frontline workers being pushed for almost over a year now, at the same time, I think we definitely acknowledge that it has not been easy for everyone, but especially for the frontline workers. So I just want to say thank you to all of you. I wanted to look at another part of pandemic fatigue and go a little bit from looking at what's happening in Singapore and also at the rest of the world. One of the things that I've been hearing about, especially online, is that there's this comparison between Singapore's measures being, for example, overly stringent versus, let's say, Western countries. Because we are seeing certain countries that have really lifted their restrictions. Some of them are not even mandating mask wearing anymore. At the same time, for Singapore, just last week, because of the cluster in the Bukit Merah area, the ministry and the task force mentioned that we are going to restrict dining to just 2 people. I think originally they wanted to push up to 5. Do you feel like the measures that are put in place in Singapore are too stringent? Or are we being overly cautious?
I don't think we are being overly cautious. I think that we're really just doing the best we can to curb the spread of infection. I would think that Singapore, we are very small. And so it's not that difficult for one person to travel from one end of the island to the other. And by that, how many people will you have crossed? How many people will you have interacted with? It's really playing by the safe side. Maybe it's my Singaporean attitude about being kiasu. I think that this is okay. But I would say that it's really for the best of the people. If these measures weren't in place, it might have just become worse that way. So if this heightened alert didn't kick in, who knows what would have happened? And given all the new strains of viruses, I would really doubt that if heightened alert didn't kick in, things would have become better. Perhaps they might have stayed constant, but classes were already forming. It was already a sign that perhaps something added should be done. I guess it's a really Singaporean thing to play on the safe side. And personally, I don't mind. If it's something that can keep me safe, keep my loved ones safe, why not?
At the same time, though, I might look at the other perspective, which kind of seems like the other way of, yes, we are stringent, but it seems like sometimes we are being lax and then we kind of have to go back to being stringent again. It's something like a cycle.
The fact that we loosen the measures and then something happens and then we go back to it, it just shows the unpredictability of the situation. And the fact that it's so unpredictable, perhaps it's better to stay on the safe side than to risk more and end up risking resources and more heightened measures that would compromise the quality of life that we currently are living. So it goes to say that because this war is very uncertain, we're trying to be one step ahead of it. But yet, it's not like we can communicate with the virus and tell, hey, we're spying on them, they're going to mutate soon, you better do something, no? If it were that easy, but sadly, it's not. So I think it all goes back to the fact that things are so unpredictable. We have to bite the bullet and do the best we can to stay on the safer side. Because if we don't, things might get even worse. And by the time everyone's agreeable to have tougher measures kicked in, what is there left to salvage? I wouldn't want to think of the consequence.
As a student who's studying life sciences and public health, I fully understand where you're coming from. But I can't help but think there are other countries that take different measures. Like for USA, during the Trump administration, they basically said, we're not going to work on trying to control the cases, but instead we'll invest in a vaccine plan. And they did. Their vaccine plan was actually pretty accessible, except for the fact that there wasn't a very big uptake for it. But after the Trump administration left, the Biden administration had the infrastructure available for them to roll out the vaccine plans effectively. And why is it that Singapore couldn't have done that too, you know?
In a way, that's kind of what Singapore is doing. In fact, I think the recent weeks, they've been really speeding up our vaccination rates.
Personally, I mean, we're Singaporeans. This tendency to stay on the safe side and no mask because I'm vaccinated. But then it's so unsure. in a sense where there's this asymptomatic behavior. Some people, though infected with COVID, show less symptoms and are technically able to still function like their pre-morbid status compared to some when they are infected with COVID, they really require maximum healthcare assistance. So it's really very hard to tell. The vaccine isn't out long enough for clinical trials to really be set in place to say how has the vaccine been affecting people. Personally, I feel that to suddenly say that we can go without masks is really very radical because there are no clinical trials that have come out, at least with a sustained duration of time, to say that the vaccine is as effective as it has proven to be. And considering how we have a small minority of voices saying that they have very serious side effects from the vaccine, yet no one can really tell if it was the vaccine or something else. With all these small little hubbubs popping around, we don't know for sure that the vaccine can really work the way it has promised. I know this sounds very odd coming from someone who's about to step into healthcare and is here to promote and to get vaccinated. I hope that you get where I'm coming from, where it's just not clear enough. So if it's not clear enough, and if the country and its leaders are willing to take the risk, then, I mean, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to have an opinion on it because I don't know as much as they do. And they definitely know things that I don't know. But just from a personal standpoint, from what I have observed and reading the news, I would say that they're really pushing and being quite radical. And if Singapore were to declare no mask, for example, I highly doubt that people would start walking the streets without a mask until they see at least most of the friends around them are not wearing masks, and they'd be like, okay, I should probably not wear a mask too, because I think it's a very Singaporean thing.
Basically, you feel that Singaporeans' risk-taking behaviours is very low. So given the chance that you might develop all these complications from getting infected with COVID, people would err on the side of caution and would prefer to have all these stringent measures in place.
We're going to talk about something slightly different, and that is about traveling. Singaporeans are the people who love to travel a lot. For this particular pandemic, I think in some surveys, we were ranked the most travel deprived, which I think says a lot. But at the same time, it kind of makes sense because Singapore being a small city state, Singaporeans love to travel overseas. So I just wanted to ask either of you, did you have any of your travel plans disrupted by the pandemic?
Too many. I thought you mentioned last summer, you're supposed to go overseas with your friends. You're the planner.
Yes, but the plan was made whilst COVID was technically happening. So it was like, we could go if the situation got better. And then we went ahead to just plonk our ideal destinations. But then the situation got worse. So yeah, then we couldn't go. But from what I can recall, it was only that graduation trip that my friends and I had in mind. Other than that, there wasn't much of a let's plan to go overseas this year when circuit breaker kicked in. And then afterwards, my family personally didn't plan for anything much because we just wanted to wait and observe.
Where was the place that you and your friends had in mind?
Technically, we wanted a grad trip during this time of June to Japan.
At the start of the pandemic, Japan actually did quite well, right? They managed to control the infections.
I think it varied because at some point, they said it got better and then it got worse and it got better and it got worse. So in the end, the conclusion that my friends and I came to was, nah, anyways, it's not like we could travel anywhere, but each country is really fighting their battle really, really hard. And even if a country is said to be able to control it very well, my friends and I agreed that it wouldn't be a risk to take. And besides, the airplane tickets would shoot up even if we could travel. And I don't have that kind of money, sadly.
How have you been spending your free time then?
Since you couldn't really go out at all, I really just turned to crafting. That has been a hobby from the beginning. My friends have known me ever since I was from secondary school to JC to now to be someone who just enjoys doing craft work, from crocheting to painting, all these small little things to pass the time. I call it productive procrastination, because sometimes I should be studying, but I don't do it. How I pass the time at home is Netflixing or listening to other podcasts or YouTube while I just do my craft work. And then I sell them online.
Did you just recently start selling them online as a result of the circuit breaker or having more time? Or was it always something that you wanted to
do? Actually, it was always something that I wanted to do. I opened a carousel shop when I was 14. And back then, I was selling dream catchers because it was a new endeavor that I wanted to try. And during that season, there was this K-drama and they had a dream catcher inside. And that's where actually dream catchers rose to popularity at some point. Everybody wanted that dream catcher. But then I did not make that dream catcher because I thought it was ugly. But I really explored into what was a dream catcher? What is a dream catcher? The culture and everything behind it. So I think that was what really got me, because personally for me, I wouldn't go onto an endeavor if I didn't know what was the meaning behind something. What was that object? What is the object? I was making dream catchers and I was selling them and earning some happy income. It was the first time that I did an online business. I was making dream catcher bracelets and all, and I also had an Instagram. 14-year-old me wouldn't even expect that someone from Australia was looking at my thing. She was like, I want to buy that. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't sell things overseas. I don't know how to do a PayPal. And then she was like, but I really want that. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't sell that to you because I don't deliver overseas. She was like, I'll get it from you one day. That was okay. But then she didn't get back to me. But that was in sec 4. And afterwards, because I moved on to JC and to uni, things got busy. And so a lot of things went on hiatus. But then when I had time, I still crafted and explored new things. And then after a while, I explored other things. And then I took up crocheting recently during the pandemic because it was something that my mom actually taught me when I was very, very young, the basic single crochet chain. But then I got bored doing it. And I see people making dolls, making all sorts of interesting things with it. And I wanted to push my own boundaries. And so I just started exploring. And then voila, I'm trying to make a jacket. That's how I spend my time now, and I sell the crocheting stuff. So I make keychains and I just put the photos online, and if people want them, then I'll make it for them.
So you do commissions for people?
It's more of they see the design, but they say, can you modify it? Then I'll be like, okay. And then I will price it accordingly to their requests. It's where people, they see that, oh, you do this, then could you help me make this, but in a crochet form? So currently, I'm actually helping my friend make a bag. I'm helping another friend make a couple of cacti. Other than that, I'm just exploring new kinds of stitches and made my own, my first jacket, which is sitting in my cupboard.
Just to clarify, so your crochet is making figurines and 3D objects that are usable?
I think, yes. Usable.
Like the bag and the...
I feel like crochet is very versatile. When you say usable, I guess if I use crochet to make clothes or little bags or little pots to put things in, then itself, it has a function to it. The reason why I really want to explore crochet is because there's so much to try with it and there's so many things that you could do with it. Currently, I'm looking into using crochet to make my favorite anime characters because, hey, that would sell good and it's also quite fun.
It's a very calming activity, is it for you?
Yes, it's very, very therapeutic. At one point, I brought it to clinicals. At the start of this year, we had a 1 month attachment for our attachments. Let's say morning shift, we work from 7 to 3. Afternoon shift, we work from 1 to 9. And we always have a 1 hour break. And during this 1 hour break, during my 1 month attachment this year, I was like, I want to make a shirt. So I told my friend, I am crocheting a shirt. I literally brought my ball of yarn and my needle to the pantry. And I just sat there. And then the nurses and my friends who came in, they'll be like, what is she doing? Huh? And you're like, what are you making? I'm like, I'm crocheting. Then they're like, huh? It was 1 month. So every time my friend saw me, she would see the piece get bigger and bigger and bigger. And she was like, I see it. I see it. Now I'm like, you do? It was really therapeutic because crocheting is rhythmic. It's repetitive because the stitches are the same. That's where it's calming because when so much is going on, you just sit there and repeat the same thing over and over again. Your fingers have to stay focused while you do it. So it kind of brings that calming effect.
This sounds like a perfect activity for the me in Circuit Breaker, because the me in Circuit Breaker was very overwhelmed with everything that's going on. I think having this sense of normalcy through this activity would have been grounding.
Ah, yes. That's a very nice way to put it, grounding. And actually, to add on, when I was in year 2, we were privileged to be posted to IMH for a 2 weeks posting. And I was in one of the wards that was the patients would be given certain activities to do, like mahjong, to stimulate them. And actually, crocheting was one of the activities that the female patients were given to try. They were given crocheting to try. The patients would actually crochet little things like wallets, pillow covers, and they would sell them at little bowl cuts at the entrance when you enter this square in IMH. It was actually a very sweet initiative because it teaches the patients that, hey, there's this stigma that's going on, but you're learning and you're getting better and you're contributing. It's really a stimulation for them as well. And then I saw the patients doing it. Even I myself, as I watched it, I felt calm from the repetitive motion. And it kind of brings a community together because when the patients do it, they sit in a circle and then they'll start talking.
In this episode, we talked about the pandemic fatigue that we're all facing and how we can change the way that we think about it.
Join us next week to find out more about how to cope with being cooped up at home.
If you want to find out more about youth's experiences with COVID, or hear about similar experiences, follow us at our social media platforms at Heart to Health Talk. That's at Heart to Health Talk, where additional resources and nuggets of wisdom can be found. Hope to catch you in our next episode. Bye!